We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Yes, it is that time of the week and that time of the day. It is a Fransky Friday, as we do it every Friday of the season. Scott Fransky joins us, sponsored by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Phillies off a sweep of the Rockies, the White Sox in tonight. Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing awesome. Well, Scott, I'm doing awesome because I made this prediction, and it looks like it's about to come to pass. So I need to ask you, Scott, does this offense look like it's about to turn the corner and just be dynamic right now?
Well, first of all, what was your prediction?
Okay, I predicted that on average, the Phillies are going to average like 6 runs this season. He's an idiot.
Per game.
Per game.
I'm sorry, this series or this season?
Season.
season.
We have a season-long bet that they'll be under
like,
6.
Like
he thinks over.
I think they're going to be over average, the over average of 6 runs this season.
Oh, my. That would be something.
Wait a minute, Scott. Really that doesn't sound encouraging. It doesn't sound like you're with me on this one.
I wouldn't call it a high probability bet, but you know, it could happen.
Thanks, Scott.
Long shots come through sometimes. It happens.
Yeah. I mean, but it bodes well for like the last two games. Kind of bode well for my prediction, though.
Well, yeah. They look a little bit better, and they're going to hit. I mean, they're going to hit. They're going to score runs. They're going to score more runs than they've been scoring. I have no doubt about that. You know, they went through a 2-week stretch there, but Harper wasn't doing anything. JT went for a whole, you know, week basically without doing a thing. And that's just not going to continue, you know. Those guys are going to hit. And Schwarber and Turner and all these guys, they're going to hit. And they're not all going to click at the same time. There might be some days when they do, but those will be the really – you know, really good ones to try to help your average. But I think all in all, they're going to hit. It's a matter of time.
Scott, one guy that's hit a lot, you know, starting on Sunday, and he wasn't like he was terrible before. It just was, you know, not much to the first 2 weeks, but starting on Sunday through the Rockies series, Trey Turner, Scott, has gotten white hot. And this has become something we're noticing with him, where when he gets hot, like last August into September, and maybe it continues now for a little while, but certainly this week, Scott, he could get really hot, like almost hit 500 for a week or two. What have you noticed with him, you know, in the last few games?
Yeah, you know, they got a lot of guys that are sort of in that same boat, like Turner, that they can get hot enough to carry a team for a few days. You know, that's what makes it so much fun and what makes it exciting. You know, I mean, Turner, again, I think you're seeing a lot of these guys early in the season, you know, whether it's Turner or Harper, even JT, Realmuto, Schwarber. These guys are hitting the ball hard. They don't have a ton of results to show for it. But that was something about Trey that they were talking about in the first couple of weeks, is that while his average, you know, was okay, he wasn't hitting, you know, a lot of extra base hits, his average exit velocity was as high as it's ever been. And so that really bodes well. I mean, that's the kind of thing. It's not necessarily just luck, but it's the kind of thing that you say, look, if you're hitting the ball hard, just keep hitting it hard. It's going to turn for you. You're going to lift balls. You're going to get balls into the alley. You're going to hit doubles. You're going to hit homers. And that's what we're seeing the last few days from Trey.
Scott, the other side of this, one guy who hasn't gotten going yet, and it's been a rough start, is obviously Nick Castellanos. Do you think at some point here, Topper would give him a couple days off to clear his head? He did it with Rojas last weekend. I know they're different, you know, kind of players in terms of their experience and salary and all that. But do you think there might be a time soon where they try to help Castellanos just clear his head? Because he's the one guy who has not figured it out yet to start this season.
Yeah, I think that day could be around the corner, you know, if he struggles. I thought the other day might be a chance for it, you know, to kind of give him a breather, to, you know, have a couple of days to clear his head. And, you know, as they say, Nick's a pretty deep thinker, and he's always thinking about hitting, and he's talked about it himself. when he's going through struggles like this, it weighs on him heavily. So I do think it's something they keep an eye on, even with his experience level. And I don't think there's any question that they feel like he'll turn it around, but that if it, you know, if they need to in the short term, give him a day, I think that's very, very possible.
You know, Scott, let's talk about this pitching a little bit. You get to see him every day. So what is the biggest difference that you've seen in this pitching, especially when it comes to Ranger Suarez?
Well, I mean, I think right out from the very beginning, their command has been much better than you'd normally get this time of year. I mean, these guys look like they've been pitching for a few months now rather than just a couple of weeks. To me, they just seem to be able to do what they want when they want. And testament to them, you know, credit to those guys. Ranger kind of tweaked his offseason a little bit. He's healthy, which is a big thing. Obviously, he's out there and healthy, and he feels strong and can go deep into games. But his stuff has been, you know, again, Ranger's not an overpowering type pitcher, but he knows how to pitch. And I think that's what you see, you know, 1 through 5 right now, is that guys have, you know, an idea of what they're doing out there. And it's not just rearing back and throwing as hard as they can. I mean, Zach Wheeler's got, you know, high velocity kind of stuff. Maybe not what he once was, certainly. But he's a guy that knows how to pitch, and he knows how to adapt, and he knows how to, you know, add a new wrinkle like a changeup this year or a sweeper last year that's going to, you know, make him a more complete pitcher. And I think 1 through 5, they've just shown the ability to be consistent, be solid. They're not afraid to pitch to contact. They're getting strikeouts for sure, but they're not afraid to pitch to contact. And I think that's a big thing for most pitchers.
Scott, the other thing that's jumped out to me with this pitching staff, and it's really across the board, Nola's probably the only one so far who's been not on this plane, but we know he'll get there based on his track record. They strike out a good number of batters, but they don't walk a lot. I mean, they have two guys with Ranger and Wheeler under 2 walks per 9, and then the other guys, it's not like anyone has a lot of walks. It just feels like they throw strikes, and it seems so simple. I know LA always talks about it with you, but they're always ahead in the count. I mean, it feels like they've mastered the ability to pitch from ahead, and it's leading to all this success, it feels like.
Yeah, it's probably the most basic form of pitching expertise, and that is throw strikes and change speeds, right? I mean, that's what it's about. It's about keeping a hitter off balance, and yes, they have strikeouts, but I think it's a way bigger deal that they have so few walks. Because again, you're gonna make mistakes as a pitcher. You throw 100 some pitches a game, you're gonna make mistakes. And being able to keep guys off of your mistakes, or if they do hurt you, it's only a solo homer, right? I mean, you're not giving the freebies before the home run. And it's huge. And really the only thing we've seen in terms of freebies given out has been by the defense, right? I mean, it hasn't been the pitchers issuing walks. It's been the defense. I mean, at least the starters anyway. I mean, these guys have been throwing strikes. And controlling the strike zone, that's what wins. That's what wins.
Scott Fransky joining us here on Fransky Friday. Scott, what's your guess and thought on how this pitching thing might work out now that Taijuan Walker seems to be ready? You know, he kind of moved quicker than I anticipated with his rehab, and maybe he's ready to go shortly here because Turnbull's done a pretty good job. He pitches tonight. The other four obviously are entrenched here. Do you think they would move Turnbull out soon? Do you think it could be a 6-man rotation? What do you think they might do if Taijuan is ready, let's say, in the next week?
I think it's more likely that Taijuan goes to the rotation and Turnbull goes to the bullpen. I think part of that is obviously what you've invested, right? I mean, you signed up Walker to be a starter, and I think you give him every opportunity to hold on to that job, to show that he can hold on to that job. But I do think there's a place for Turnbull as a guy out of your bullpen who could be your swing guy. You know, there's going to be days when you need a sixth starter. I don't think they'll go to 6 just on the regular, but I do think that they would keep him in reserve as a long man. And, but I do think Walker's going to get a chance to go back in the rotation. If indeed they've decided, I mean, I guess he's going to throw a bullpen today. And if that goes well, if they decide that it's well and he's good and he's ready to go, then my guess is he'd pitch somewhere next week, at the start of the road trip somewhere, Cincinnati, I guess.
Yeah, Cincinnati, long road trip coming up after Sunday. A City Connect night tonight, White Sox in. Scott, we always appreciate it. We'll be listening, and we'll catch up next week. Thank you, Scott.
Scott.
Sounds good, guys.
Have a good one.
There he goes. Scott France, gun a Fransky Friday. Phillies, White Sox tonight. Could, I guess, be Spencer Turnbull's last time in this rotation for now. What do we think about this? Taiwan Walker went on a rehab. Seemed like everyone thought it was going to be about a month, Hugh, and after a couple starts, he's like, nope, I'm ready to go.
Sound like you're chomping at the bit a little bit, trying to get in on some of this action. I would say, probably with some of the things that Bryce Harper said about the pitching staff and when you see Ranger doing his thing, that would make me want to get out there and show what I could do a little bit earlier.
Also would make me want to get out there watching Spencer Turnbull pitch well, because the reality is if he keeps pitching well in your spot,
you might be the odd man out.
I know. Yeah. So now Turnbull has had health issues, and he hasn't pitched a full season in a long time, so I'm not sitting here thinking he's going to give them 30 starts. Eventually, Taiwan Walker is going to pitch for this team. I don't know, though. Like, if Spencer Turnbull goes out there tonight, Kyle, and he pitches 6 shutout innings against the White Sox, I'm not, chomping at the bit to get him out of the rotation for Taiwan Walker.
No, I feel like, besides the money, which is not actually an explanation, there's no logical reason for you to replace Spencer Turnbull in the rotation right now with Taiwan Walker. I mean, he's been pitching well. Taiwan Walker, we saw last year, sucked. I don't expect him to just turn a corner and be great this year. I would either put him as the sixth man in the back. I know he wants the ball every fifth day. He might just have to suck that up. Or he can come off the out of the bullpen and be a long man.
Yeah, well, it feels like one of these guys is going to be a long man, right? After tonight, maybe it's Turnbull, maybe it's Walker. I'm not – if you ask me, Joe, are you excited for Taiwan Walker to come back in the rotation? Not really. I mean, I love the way this rotation is pitched to start this season. I know Walker's going to get the ball at some point, but, we could slow play this.
Yeah, and then it's one of those things, Joe, where it's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
Now, if there were some issues with the starting pitching, then, yeah, you would consider that. But, yeah, he might be the long man. I can see that instead of shaking it up the way it is right now.
Yeah, hopefully he's going to be okay with that, because we know in the past Taiwan has had, he's had feelings about how he's used it.
He's been very, very outspoken.
Yeah, he has been, or passive-aggressive, whatever. But we know he cares about his usage, so he says he's soon to be ready. And Scott said there he's going to throw a bullpen session today. So we'll keep an eye on that. Phillies, White Sox tonight. City Connect. You ready for another City Connect night?
I like the T-shirts and the hoodies. I know people are not a big fan of the jerseys. Like they say, it's not for them. But I like the T-shirts and the jerseys. In the hoodies.
Now that a week has passed, right? We got to watch a game last Friday with the City Connect jerseys, the team in them. I like them more watching the game in them than I did seeing them on a rack.
You're talking about the colorway.
Like seeing a photo. I didn't mind the look on the field. I think the hat is cool. I think the hat is well done, and I like it. I like the uniforms on the players more than I thought I would.
You like the gradient, how it goes from lighter to dark. Yeah, I like that too.
Yeah, look, does the color scheme, is it what I would have chosen? No, but I get it. They want the flag and the Philadelphia and all that. But they're in it tonight again. City Connect uniforms. Did they win last Friday night? We got to tally the record, the City Connect record, because I think that's going to be a thing here, right? If they're winning in these, we're all going to like them. No, they lost last Friday.
Oh.
They lost 5-2, so we're 0-1 in the City Connects. We got to even that tonight, Hugh. Need a win in the City Connects.
I'm with it.
Because if there's a
loser, to the Pirates.
Yeah, lost last Friday to the Pirates. You know what's going to happen?
What's
if
that?
They keep losing in the City Connects, we're going to say.
They need to get rid of them.
Yeah. But
well, I think tonight bodes well to win because City Connects.
It's the White Sox.
Because let me tell you how many games the White Sox. With 3. They got 3 whole wins. They got on the season. 3 of them things.
This is the third full week of the season. They have 3.
I'm just saying, three of them things.
It's terrible.
You got to win a week.
They are awful. The pitcher they have tonight is pretty talented, but they're an awful team. 2-1-5.
I'm going to give up 10 of them things tonight.
10?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, if they get 10 off this guy, I'll be impressed. What did you think of Scott's reaction to your bet?
He was kind.
Yeah.
He was fair.
What did he say? It's not a high probability bet?
No, he was kind. Scott was kind. I appreciate that.
You know what it was like? It's like betting on the long shot horse in the Kentucky Derby, and then you going up to be like, you think I'm going to win? Well, no.
Yeah.
Probably Scott, not.
But Scott's a realist, and he kind of, when I said it, he had to make sure he heard what he heard.
Yeah, boy, like 6 runs per game?
Yeah.
On average?
Yeah.
This is a joke, quite frankly.
I mean, but sometimes you got to aim the bar high.
I agree.
You got to believe in yourself.
You go big or go home.
That's it.
If the Patriots are calling, I'm asking for the third overall pick for AJ. 215-592-9494. All right, if you just hopped in, listen to this. AJ Brown, yesterday he goes on Instagram, Twitter, whatever, wherever he is, and he changes profile picture to Tom Brady. Okay, I didn't really care. But then he's out there apparently following Jacoby Brissett, the quarterback of the Patriots. Okay. And the story comes out he was a Patriots fan when he was a kid. He wanted to be drafted there. All right. Well, you know, it's kind of weird, but whatever. And I didn't really think too much about it until this last night. Albert Breer up in Boston on NBC Sports Boston talking about the idea of the Patriots inquiring about trading for Brown.
I did have to run this up the flagpole with a few different people. Philadelphia has gotten inquiries on A.J. Brown, and they have shut them all down and told other teams that he is not available.
This is the kind of thing we react to. This is just covering the NFL in 2024. Oftentimes, the social media stuff does lead to stuff. So it's something that we always have to pay attention to. I would say the Patriots are interested in receiver help, and I think they would be open to trading for a veteran receiver.
And if, Bert, what you're saying is true, that teams have inquired about A.J. Brown, I would hope the Patriots are one of those teams.
They are.
They should be. They are one of those
teams. Yeah, they've inquired.
Look what I just did.
Look, yeah. Wow.
I just pulled that out of Bert Breer. There it is. Breaking news on the show right
Stop
now. The
it.
Patriots inquired about A.J. Brown.
He loves that.
This is what they should be doing.
I'm telling you, they are interested in receivers.
Well, if I'm Howie Roseman, this is simple. I'm not trading A.J. unless you give me the third pick in the draft. If you give me the third overall pick, I could take Marvin Harrison. Boom. I would make the deal, would you? 215-592-9494. You can chime in on the Phils, this Taiwan Walker stuff, and, of course, the Sixers and the Heat. The Sixers and the Knicks start tomorrow. Game number one, Madison Square Garden. What concerns you the most, Brunson and how good of a player he's become for the Knicks, or is it Joel's health? And, of course, we're talking munchies as well. It's a big munchie weekend here. Getting some
Great
ideas.
Munchie weekend.
Hugh is apparently going to munch on some spinach.
Yeah, spinach will probably be a part of that. I'll probably get some other choice snacks.
Yeah, we've had some more fun snacks than spinach.
Nobody's mentioned like cookies, any type of cookies. Cookies aren't really my go-to, though. They're really not. No.
Not what you mean like for snack munchy time or just in
general?
Well,
it's like.
I like a good cookie.
It all depends. Like homemade cookies. Like say if you go get like the Nestle Toll House. And kind of bake them and have the one. Yeah, those are kind of go-to. But, like, the ones in the bag, all right. That's all right.
So you're kind of out on cookies. In on spinach, out on cookies.
Yeah, it's more like cakes, stuff like that, chips, maybe some popcorn, maybe.
Kettle corn,
yeah. That's
all right, now we're talking. Let's go to Ryan, who's up next on WIP. What's up, Ryan?
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Ryan. What's up, pal?
Hey, so I want to talk to Joe here as a former NFL defensive lineman.
That's right. The only defensive lineman on this show. Right here. This guy.
I feel attacked.
No, you're good. Hey, Hugh, it's because I'll reside with you. Here's what I want to happen. Go ahead and trade AJ to the Patriots for that number 3 overall pick. Go ahead and trade down and somehow acquire, let Howie do his thing, get Malik Nabers, and you get the tight end Brock Bowers. You get both of those guys in there, and who's going to stop that offense?
Well, I mean, and here's the thing about that offense. It's young, and it's mostly cheap, too, for a long time,
right?
Yeah,
that's the thing that's drawing to a cheap offense.
You'll get some guys locked in there, obviously. You got Brock Bowers, who will be cheaper than Goddard, I'm assuming, because Goddard's older and he's proven. You also got Nabers, who's going to be much cheaper than A.J. Brown, you can upgrade a defense so much with just that little bit of money that you save, you know?
Well, that's the money part. I know people always say, well, Howie's great at the money and it doesn't matter. It always matters. Like every decision they make, it's based on the future salary cap and they're thinking about it. And Ryan, they can handle AJ's contract and Devontae and Jalen all right now. 2 years from now, I'm not sure. I mean, they may have to, you know, reallocate the money. And this is kind of a way to do it right now. And then really, the third pick costs $35 million for the next 4 years. AJ costs $90 million. That's a huge difference.
That's absolutely huge. Plus, you just acquired Saquon, who's a proven back, right? You got Devontae, who's a proven receiver. You got Jalen, who has one great year under his belt. You have an offensive lineman who's coached by the best offensive line coach in the NFL. You have AJ, who's obviously an amazing wide receiver. I love AJ. But if you can get a young guy who knows what he's doing, like Nabers or Harrison, plus you can add Brock Bowers to that. Then you can go spend a little bit of money in free agency, maybe get a Super Bowl team for the next 4 years.
Yeah, you know, I don't think you totally hurt your window this year, but you also extend it moving forward. I think it's the way, if it's possible, I would do it. Ryan, give us a munchie for Hugh here. What do we got?
So, you know, early I was eating, when Kyle had asked me, I was eating them at the time. I was thinking Pringles, but man, there's nothing better than a greasy pizza with ranch.
pizza with a little greasy pizza with ranch.
I haven't had it with the ranch, but pizza is a hell of a go-to.
Oh, it's a great one. Ryan,
pizza rolls too.
Pizza rolls.
Like the little pizza thingies.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are good.
Put them in the microwave, heat them up.
Yeah, or the air fryer, which I don't have, but you know what I mean.
Oh, air fryers are clutch. You got to get one.
Definitely got to get it.
So, you never had pizza with ranch dipping in the ranch?
No, I haven't.
We tried the mustard pizza on the show, right? We did that about, I don't know, a month and a half ago.
That was pretty, that was decent.
Yeah, but I mean, I think we're at the point people just dip anything in ranch. I mean, ranch is one of those go-to.
Especially when you're having a sesh. When you're having a sesh,
Are you a ranch or a blue cheese guy with your wings?
Oh, definitely ranch. That's what I was trying to do the other night when I had the chicken, but the ranch dressing was like...
Oh, that was the goal.
Way outdated.
Yeah, way past.
It was way outdated.
Yeah, you were past, like, with ranch dressing, obviously some things you just throw out when they're past. Like, ranch dressing, if it's a day or two over the expiration.
Yeah, you can roll with that, but when it's like a whole couple
3 months,
months
4 months,
that's
a whole problem.
Ranch is good on pizza, but you shouldn't put anything on your wings, buffalo wings, other than blue cheese.
I'm not on blue cheese.
No, I'm not a fan. I don't like the chunky pieces.
Yeah, I never cared for it.
Not a fan.
You guys are scared.
No, I've tried it. I don't care for it. I mean, I try things. Unlike some people.
I feel attacked again. I'm not trying it. Like, I am intrigued by the Barolo because he was thoroughly irritated. Yeah. Like, he was thoroughly irritated with me.
I think he felt bad for you. Like, you're wasting your life.
I feel bad for you.
I mean, but I'm okay with that, though.
You're okay because you don't know.
I'm not okay with it.
No, you know what? And you're probably right about that. You're probably right with that because there's been times where I've tried something different and I hated the fact that I was late to the party, but I'm okay with not trying this one. I'm okay.
You're not just late to the red wine and steak party. I mean, the party's almost over and you haven't even got there yet.
The party's almost over. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of that. I'm not a big fan of that.
But I think what everyone's telling you is you will be.
No, yeah, I hear you.
It's like blue cheese is an acquired taste. I don't know if you'd like blue cheese even if you tasted it. Mm-hmm. It's a unique taste. I don't like it. You will like wine and steak. You would.
And the one time that I tried something what I didn't know, it was a mattress. I never knew how
you
important.
You ate a mattress?
You eat it?
No. Be quiet, Kyle. Be quiet. No. It's like, you know, you always hear people that say, like, you buy a good mattress because you spend most of your life in bed. Like, you know, that's kind of the centerpiece.
I'm looking at a threesome.
No, seriously. You've never heard this. Like, people talk about you have to buy a good mattress.
You spend a lot of your time. Yeah,
you spend a lot of your time.
Mattresses are important.
Yeah. I didn't know what a good mattress felt like until I got a good mattress. And then I was mad at myself because all those years, if I'd had a good mattress, I ain't no telling how it would have felt.
Wait till we unveil Triday 2.0, where you actually try these things. You're going to be, it's going to open up an entirely new world. You'll be mad at yourself again.
I've tried a few of these
things. Hold on a second. When did you get the mattress? Like, what part, what year? Like, around what time?
About, 10 years ago.
So you went through your whole career without a good mattress?
Yes. Because I didn't know.
Hold you know what you need? You could be in the Hall of Fame.
Pillow top.
You could have been in Canton.
Adjustable base. Yeah, I kind of look at it like that. I'm like,
you had 80 sacks without a good mattress?
I didn't even know what that felt like. But when I sat on the mattress, the lady thought I was a weirdo because I started laughing and giggling because I was like, oh, my God, this feels so great.
I bet the Eagles are going to be annoyed when they hear this. You know, they paid you all that money. Is that the quarterback? You could have got a better mattress.
It didn't make sense to me at the time to buy like an $8,000 to $10,000 mattress because I didn't feel like it was worth that. But when I got one... It was great.
You know what has changed over the years? The way players take care of their bodies. In your time, it wasn't that way. Now they all sleep in these hyperbaric chambers and eat, you know, celery juice and whatever, and that's why they're good. It's different.
Real quick, Hugh. There's going to be one thing you need before you get a mattress.
What's that?
A home.
Yeah. I have a mattress. I just don't have a home.
Yeah, you're doing this all. You're living backwards here, man.
I'm bass backwards.
215-592-9494 for Triday Friday. Best munchy snack junk food for the weekend. Plus your call, Sixers Knicks this weekend. And Beats Health Brunson, what is worrying you more? And A.J. Brown for the third pick. Would you do it? We also have to address a very interesting story as it pertains to an Eagle that was expected to be a part of this thing. Will he be? I'm not sure anymore. 215-592-949 for Midday Show. Sports Radio 94. WIP, the NBA play-in tournament gives teams a chance to play their way into the postseason. So it only seems right that new customers on FanDuel could play their way into $150. Just place any $5 bet and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. Bet on three-pointers made, over-under point totals for the game, first basket score, and more. I would go over Brunson tomorrow. I would go under tomorrow for Tobias because he's not going to play much. Just go to FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to get started. FanDuel.com/GIGLIO. Make every moment more with FanDuel. in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back. Midday show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. Coming up at 1, you know what we're going to do. A little mock draft. Daily mock at 1.
We ain't got too many of these left.
I know. It's bittersweet. It always is as we get closer to the draft. Like, I'm excited for the draft next Thursday night. Big draft show here on WIP with the Eagles having the 22nd pick. Who knows? Maybe if Howie listens to the show, they'll have the third pick too. We'll see. But they'll have the 22nd pick next Thursday night, and we'll have a daily mock coming up at 1 o'clock. And Hugh, a lot of these mocks have had the Eagles taking a corner or maybe taking a different position because they have some young corners, Thundercats, as you would call
young
them, right?
Thundercat.
Kelee Ringo's a Thundercat and Eli Ricks. Another Thundercat that people are excited about. Every time we talk about corners, I inevitably get a message like, Joe, you guys did mention Isaiah Rodgers. What about Isaiah Rodgers, former Colt, who came in here off the suspension he got from the NFL? And Hugh, I think the hope was he'd be reinstated and he's back for this season and maybe he plays. Well, yesterday, the NFL reinstated, I think it was a handful of players that had been serving lengthy suspensions. You know who was not reinstated yesterday?
Isaiah Rodgers.
No, and I'm not sure if that means he won't be for the season, if it's just a delay on his in case in particular. But, Hugh, that was notable because the draft's next week, and if one corner of their group of young guys is now maybe not in the mix, I mean, it makes, obviously, that position, Hugh, more of a need if they don't think he's going to be eligible to play this year.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird how, you know, when you look at the wording of the suspension, I didn't even know this, that the way that he did it, it's potential, like I think it's a minimum of, like, 2 seasons he's supposed to be, like, out of the game. So that could put you in a bad spot. And I don't even know if he knew this because I remember at the end of the season, there was video of him getting ready for the season.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that he assumed that he was going to be good to go for the season.
So yesterday, 5 players were reinstated for violating the NFL gambling policy. He was not one of them. Again, I'm not sure how this works. Like, could there be a second wave of players reinstated? I don't even know how many players have gotten caught for the gambling thing in the last year. Certainly 5 have been reinstated. But I'm thinking back this offseason, whenever Howie and Jeff have talked about him, they've been excited, but it's been a little bit tepid, like almost as if they weren't quite sure if he was eligible to play. But something to keep an eye on. And I'll tell you, this is not great news for the Eagles in the draft because teams now know this, right? It's public information. We're talking about it.
They're looking for a corner.
All right, teams know that one of their young corners is still not eligible to play. Like, they're starting OTAs. I imagine he's not allowed to be part of everything and play. So we'll keep an eye on it. But if you're an Isaiah Rodgers fan, if you're like, hey, you guys don't forget Isaiah Rodgers. Well, right now the NFL forgot him because they didn't reinstate him yesterday. He's not currently eligible to play. All right, 215-592-9494. Back to the phone lines. AJ, the Knicks and the Sixers, Brunson and Bede. The odds now on the series have it pretty much even. It was opened at a Sixers favorite. Knicks as the dog, and it's kind of moved towards even on both sides. As most people consider this a toss-up series, I think it's going 7. Brunson scares the heck out of me, and of course Embiid's physical status and how good he's going to be starting tomorrow night. And then we need munchies. It's a munchie kind of weekend.
Munchie.
It's a Tri-Day Friday. Your favorite munchie. We've gotten some interesting ones. I'm not writing down the spinach one that Hugh suggested because that doesn't.
Yeah, that don't count. That don't count. That's just my personal preference, which it obviously has thoroughly irritated other people. So yeah.
Your food takes really, they get to people.
Yeah, but it's there. But see, here's the thing. It's my food.
It's your truth.
It's my truth. But people can't stand it. Like, I like the fact that it's thoroughly irritating. I eat different. I know that. And that's okay. I'm pretty sure a lot of other people do too. They just don't talk about it.
It's funny. The more this show goes on, like, it's been established I'm the defensive guy, right? I played in the NFL.
Yes.
Also, like, I'm a vegetarian, but yet your food takes get people riled up more than
mine.
Yes,
it does. And I don't understand it. I don't understand
it. I know. Well, I mean, you have some bizarre food takes.
No, I mean, it's just like, I don't like, it's not like I'm opposed to certain combinations of food together.
Yeah, you are.
It's just, I'm, I compartmentalize. Certain things I compartmentalize different than other people do.
You don't even let your food touch on the plate, dude.
No, I don't. I don't. I do not like my food to touch. I do not like my food to touch at all. So, no, not that.
Well, you got to figure that out, man. You got
I mean, I just don't. I don't. And I know I'm not the only person that's like that.
No, well, there's children out there like it. I agree. Scott is in Newtown. What's up, Scott?
Yo, guys. How you doing? Awesome show as always.
Thank you, Scott. What's up, pal?
Yo, I'm the same as you, man. I don't like my food to touch, and I like, I just like specific foods. And, like, also, I'm not going to ruin my steak with wine because I don't like wine, you know what I mean? So, like, I'm not going to drink it with it because I just don't like red wine. But I love a steak, you know? So well,
Listen, a good steak, like, the best absolute steak is the one you don't have to put anything on. Like, to me, that is it. Just like the seasoning, and that's it. Bloody. A little bit
bloody. That's what I say. Yeah, medium rare, man. Making nice. And
I am the only African American that like my meat cooked that way.
Oh,
no, because I heard some guys calling yesterday. I think it was Gritty, and he was like, "No, medium well." You know,
no, I like it. Well, I like it a little pink.
Is that? I didn't realize this. Is this like a cultural thing?
I think it is because when I said it to my friends, they were like, "Something wrong with you?" They call it vampire meat, and I'm like, "It's not. It's like you don't understand, like." People that buy medium well to well done steaks, you're getting an old piece of meat that they're not worried about you tasting in it because you're not going to taste it. You're not going to taste the difference.
Oh, you think you're getting
flavors.
A lower quality because they're going to.
You are getting a lower quality because it's almost burnt.
Well, it's like it becomes like rubber too,
and it's dry. Yeah. I tried to tell my people that they don't hear me.
It's like a hockey puck.
Yeah. I tried to tell my folks that, man. They don't believe me. They think I
had
switched over. Yeah. Basically.
Well, listen, Joe, I spend most of my days listening to you just being so mad at you and, like, just yell. I, like, literally drive the car just yelling at you because I don't usually agree with your take.
You know what? Shut up.
I know. It's all good, man. You know, I do. You're the only one that gets me all worked up, so I do appreciate that. But I'm with you this time, man. I would get rid of A.J. Brown and go with if you could get that third pick, that's the only way I would do it. I just feel like this year more than any other year, I'm, like, so annoyed with what's going on. Like, I don't know what went wrong yet. I don't know if it's the offense. I don't know if it's you know, it's just, like, there's something wrong. So, like, I wouldn't be opposed to, like, mix it up and bring in new blood as long as it was going to be someone that we thought was going to be really good.
For
you know?
Sure. Yeah, and, Scott, that I think a shake – like that's kind of what they did with Reddick. They shook it up a little bit. And then you could do the same thing on offense here with AJ. And, Scott, you and I see this similar, like, for the first time, obviously. We see it similar that I wouldn't just trade him. But, man, Scott, like if Marvin Harrison Jr. might be the next Larry Fitzgerald. You get him in here. I know he's a rookie, but I don't think it would take him long to get going. He could be a star right away.
Yeah, and I think the dynamic would work, too. Like, when you played that clip of Devontae Smith saying how, like, obviously we both want to be alphas and we're cool with that, like, the truth is I think only Devontae Smith thinks that way. I think he's comfortable enough being an alpha and there are other alphas around him. I don't think A.J. Brown, I don't think Jalen Hurts feels that way. I think they need to be the leader, and they need to be – I just, like, they're just they're different to me. And I have this feeling that Hurts might be a little bit of a baby, man. And, like, that's pretty disappointing because I thought he was the opposite. I thought he was, like, you can coach him hard and all of this. But it seems like the longer we go into it, it kind of seems like maybe he's a little bit of a baby, and that kind of makes me nervous, you know?
Yeah, well, it's hard to be sensitive and be the quarterback here. We've seen it many times. It's hard.
That dog don't hunt.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, it don't mix, you know? It just don't mix.
Scott, what's your munchie? What's your munchie for you?
My munchie is I don't really do sweets and bread, so, like, I'm savory. I like jalapeno peppers. I cut them in half. I stuff them with cream cheese, cheddar cheese. I wrap it with bacon. I cook it at 375 for an hour, take them out, slather them with barbecue salt, put it under the broiler for another 10 minutes. Let me tell you, those things hit like you would not believe, man.
I do like the jalapenos and the cream cheese because I went to a vegan party, and they had it with the bread.
You went to a vegan party?
Yeah, because a friend at the time, the young lady I was dating, her friends were vegan.
Got it.
And I couldn't be, you know. But the jalapenos with the little
man.
Vegan stuff.
See, Scott, you and I agree more than you think. That's a dynamite snack there. Scott, we appreciate the phone call. I've never been to a vegan party. Vegan party seems kind of boring. Even as someone who eats vegetarian and sometimes vegan stuff, it seems kind of boring.
No
not going to lie.
No comment because they might be listening.
No, but I could say it. I'm one of them.
Yeah, but it was.
Well, I'll say this.
It was definitely meatless.
Anyone who has moved away from eating meat, if you have, and maybe for a period of time or like full time, it's not as cool. I mean, like, it's I can recognize that.
Some of the stuff, like, this is where it irritates me with vegans. Like, when you start talking about steak cabbage or whatever it is, when y'all cut the things up and make it into, like, a steak, you're lying to yourself.
When we were in Boston, I had the cauliflower steak.
Yeah, that was terrible. Yeah, that was terrible that you did.
It was delicious. It was a complete waste of money. No, hold on. Well,
like, just eat a steak.
I don't eat steak.
But I'm just saying, okay,
he's telling you to do it. Start.
Quit pretending.
Well, here's why you're annoyed by it, because it's called cauliflower
steak.
No,
you know what else irritated me?
If it's just sliced and baked or whatever that they do to it, cauliflower on a plate, you wouldn't care that I'm eating that. It's the name that bothers you.
Yeah, of course.
Well,
you know
I didn't name it. I just ordered it.
You know what bothers me about the vegetarians?
Take a stand and don't eat it.
No, it's
because
like it.
When they made
delicious,
they got vegan oxtails and they got vegan chitlins. Now, somebody, whoever thought about that, need to be slapped, like, as hard as you possibly can across your lips, because who the hell wants vegan oxtails?
Isn't the chitlins the poop?
Yes.
How do you make vegan chitlins poop?
I don't understand, but I've seen them. And whoever did this, like, the question, you know the question I got to ask. How do you get that unique aroma that comes? Like, if you've ever been in a house with chitlins, you swear a septic tank has busted somewhere. I swear. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care. Somebody's going to tweet me and say, oh, well, the way I clean them, they don't smell. Yes, they do. They do.
So swallow it, you know, and eat it.
Before I moved from Jersey to Bucks County, on my first house, we had a septic tank. And we had an issue once.
Uh-huh.
And if you're telling me that's the way the chitlins smell.
That's how chitlins smell.
That's
when they're
disgusting.
Cooking. And I remember I used to look like, because, you know, when you have the holidays, and especially down south, they'd be like, ooh, you smell them chitlins. It smells so good. I used to look at them like, are you kidding me?
Do you know what you're saying right now?
Yes. That used to be, but boy, I tell you, when I see like the old heads, the OGs in my family, they sit there and they cut them intestines up and they put the hot sauce on them, Joe, and they eat them like they are the best thing on the planet.
See, you guys look at me like I'm the crazy one. I'm just slicing a thing of cauliflower and
no, that's
and
just
eating
ridiculous.
It. Well, maybe
like,
it might be
ridiculous,
but it doesn't smell the whole house up. You know, you don't lie to yourselves,
like,
and your family.
The vegans, it's like if you're longing for some of these food tastes, because a lot of times I've seen a lot of fat vegans too. It's a lot of fat. Like, a lot of y'all vegans out there thinking y'all eating healthy, y'all lying to yourself, because y'all need to probably drop a few.
Hughes, sugar doesn't discriminate. Whether you're eating meat or not, you eat a lot of sugar, you're going to be chunky.
Ain't that the whole purpose of being vegan?
To be healthier?
Yes.
Part of it, yeah, sure.
Yeah, so why y'all still sitting
why
heavy?
Why are you lumping me with everyone? I'm not actually vegan.
I'm fraud.
I'm not talking about you. I've gotten on my soapbox, and I'm just talking to the rest of
vegans. Vegan stuff is fraudulent,
man. Why y'all out there lying to yourself, thinking you being healthy, and you just about big as me? Like, that's ridiculous.
Spike's a vegan.
Yeah, Spike's
we got
little,
an on-air vegan.
He's not nearly
he's
as
little. He's a little vegan, though.
Well, I mean, I would guess most vegans aren't huge. Just a guess. I can't speak for everybody.
Is how many other vegans do we know that work here?
That work in the whole office?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just on the idea of, like, percentage, I would probably say a handful of people around here are probably vegan. I don't know. Just a percentage.
No, I'm just saying, I've seen some fat vegans. That's all the point that I'm making. And y'all need to stop. Y'all need to just go ahead and eat meat.
If you're a fat vegan, eat my cauliflower steak, and you're going to do nothing
about
it.
You know what? That's the daily duck. That's the next one. If you're a fat vegan, you might as well just go ahead and eat meat, dog, because you didn't kind of like, you defeating the purpose. Can we do another one for the day?
You can do as many Daily Douglas you want. I mean, really, anytime you talk, it's a
like,
Daily
if you
Douglas.
Just let your vegan, if you're a fat vegan, just let go, dog. Just go ahead and eat meat. You might as well just stop.
Bonus Daily Douglas today. Matt and Broomall. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's going on, buddy? Man?
So I just wanted to start off with saying A.J. Brown for the third overall pick. I'm kind of with you, Joe. I think it's a no-brainer. I mean, you just paid Smitty pretty much the same thing A.J. Brown's getting. It's a lot to pay two receivers. I know Howie's a cap wizard, but, I mean, you got to figure you can trade up for the third, and if you want to take Marvin Harrison Jr., he's the cream of the crop in what looks like an elite wide receiver class. I think you no-brainer take him there, but I just don't even – I know it's a hypothetical. I don't think the Patriots would do that. We'd probably have to give up a little more – than just AJ for the third overall.
You're probably right, but Matt. I mean, that's why I'd ask for it, right? Like, it's like the kind of thing where I can't turn it down. If they say yes, and it's funny you said that, because when we were in the hallway on one of the breaks, Elliot was here, and he asked, would you do it for next year's one? And that's kind of interesting, right? Because they could be bad again, even with AJ. So they probably wouldn't want to do it, but boy, if they offered number three, I'd say yes in a second.
I have to agree with you there. And then when it gets to the Sixers, I'd say – I mean, Jalen Brunson's a great player, so I'm concerned about him. But and not even Embiid's health. I really think it's just more conditioning and getting back into game shape that I'm a little worried about. But I have a bold take for the series. I think the Sixers are going to win pretty handily. I think the Sixers are going to win in five. Mm. And I think we see why Nick Nurse is one of the best coaches in the league. I just have confidence. I said it when I called in a few weeks ago. The best fit we've ever had around Embiid. It's not the best talent-wise, but the fit's awesome. I think Nick Nurse is just miles ahead of what coaching we've had. So I'm going to go bold and say the Sixers win in five.
Well, I love it. And if they beat – and I think – I respect this Knicks team. I don't think they're great. They're not a championship team, but they're good. If they beat them in five without home court, I'll be super impressed. Matt, what's your Munchie take for us?
So the take I have here is this is from, like, me and my college roommates, our sessions back in the college days. I think Joe might call me a little childish for it. But the Uncrustable peanut butter and jelly. Those Dude. Things just hit different after a set.
Matt, I will not call you that because – so my daughter loves these. And I'm not lying to anybody. When I'm packing her lunch, sometimes I take an extra one out just for me.
No, listen. Those Uncrustables hit. I had the producer back when I was in Atlanta. He used to – like when he used to fly with the Falcons, he used to snatch all the Uncrustables on the plane. Like that was his go-to.
The team had them?
Yeah, they had them on the plane. Yeah,
now, you a grape or a strawberry guy?
I'm not really an Uncrustable eater. But people swear by the peanut butter and jelly ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they love them.
What do you, Matt? You strawberry or grape for the jelly?
I'd lean grape. I'd lean grape, but I'm fine with either.
Matt, good phone call. I'd lean strawberry.
Yeah, I'm with him. I eat either one of them, but they're just bananas. Like people love them. People love them.
Well, it's hard to mess up a peanut butter and jelly. Let's just call it.
But I do kind of like I don't like the fact that they don't have the crust. I kind of like it.
Well,
crust.
That's uncrust. They're uncrust.
Yeah, that's the name. Yeah.
You're a crust guy?
I'm a crust guy.
It depends on the loaf.
I used to like some sessions I remember like when I used to do like, but what's the mine is I like the peanut butter ratio to be a lot more volume than the jelly.
So we like 2-1.
Butter. Yeah, I'd like the peanut butter to be a little thicker than the jelly.
Are you a chunky peanut butter guy or a creamy?
Mostly creamy, but I will partake in the chunky peanut butter every now and then.
I prefer the creamy peanut butter. I'm not like if you give me a sandwich with the chunky, I'm not going to say get this out of my face. I'm just I think the creamy works better on the sandwich. It's
a little bit. Yeah, I can see that. But this is like peanut butter is a nice little go-to, man.
Kyle, where are you on the chunky versus the creamy peanut butter situation?
So, used to be a creamy peanut butter guy as a kid.
You changed.
I'm in on the chunks, man. Yeah.
I just feel on a sandwich, and I mean, I'll eat it.
Well, okay, so not on a sandwich, but
we're talking about, we talk about peanut butter and jelly.
Gotcha, okay, I missed that part of it. probably not on a peanut... what?
I just thought it was funny.
Well, I think he thinks it's funny because we went off into like a little tangent. We lost ourselves for a second.
You know, I'm on the phone sometimes back there.
No, I'm just laughing. I just thought it was funny. That's all. That's all I'm saying. It was funny.
We went into an Uncrustable thing for a while.
We always go into tangents.
It depends on the application, I would say. And I know that's not a take, but on a PB&J, I'll go creamy.
Okay. I like that. All right, Rasheem in North Philly. What's up, Rasheem?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Rasheem, what's up, pal?
What's up? How you doing? I was talking to Kyle about this. Number one, my first gripe is that coming in second place in WIP Fantasy Football League, you don't win anything. And number two, these last 2 days, these questions as far as Trey A.J. Brown and is Jalen Hurts' demeanor is do you like it or not? I think those are come on, guys.
I don't give a shit.
What are we doing?
Well, okay, so hold on.
Well, thank you, Kyle, because I don't agree with it. Terrible questions, first of all.
Oh, hold on. I think a lot of people, based on last year, got frustrated by Jalen Hurts' demeanor, and that's okay if you're not.
Based off what? Because you've been hearing maybe speculation and rumors. It hasn't been confirmed, and it hasn't been proven that this is what guys are saying. This is speculation and rumors. So we're basing it off speculation and rumors. And one game where on a sideline where you went to him, I guess he was sitting there, the same. Like he's been the same leader he was in 2022.
I'm with you on that. And I've said a lot this offseason. I think his play is the biggest thing, right? That matters way more for me than the personality stuff. I've said that. If his play gets back to where we want it, it doesn't matter. Now, as far as today, Rasheem, listen, the Patriots called about A.J. Brown. So, if they offer the third pick, I would do it. That's all.
First of all, they won't trade the third round pick, so it's a dumbass question.
Well, Rasheem, but
because they won't do it.
But that's their decision. If it's offered, would you do it?
I don't do speculation like that because it's not going to happen. So I'm not even going to play that little game.
But every trade is speculation. It's all speculation. We're just having fun here. Like none of this. We're not in Howie Roseman's office, so we're just speculating on all this stuff, aren't we?
Not necessarily, because I don't come up and hit you guys with speculation. Well, how about let's trade this pick for this pick? I don't do that.
Well,
I'll wait until it happens, and then I'll talk about it.
But Rasheem, that's not how it works, because this is what happened. A.J. Brown, he changed his profile pick to Tom Brady. He started following Jacoby Brissett and another one of the teammates, and then this story came out. So, where there's smoke, there's fire. And let's be honest.
Why did he change it to Tom Brady? Because he explained it.
Rasheem, can I have the floor? I mean, this is the speculation where the speculation comes in. Obviously, there was something that he knew about the potential trade to the team that he wanted to be a part of, correct?
Are we sure?
Well, if not, Rasheem, it's quite a coincidence.
That's a hell of a coincidence if he didn't. Like, all of a sudden, like, the way this story dropped, you have to be, like, you got to think that he knew something.
Hugh, you know that Tom Brady profile pick been his pick for, like, the last couple of days? He didn't just change it. It's been his pick for, the last four or three days.
But what I'm saying is, listen to what I'm saying.
No, I'm listening.
He had to have known something. Like, this story, it just got legs because these are things that happened over the last couple of days. The timing.
Did you know, Hugh, when the Jets were thinking about trading you? Did your agent tell you?
I do. That's what I'm saying. The timing is just, the timing is off. That's all he's saying. The timing is off.
So, Hugh, let me ask you a question. So you're saying that the reason why A.J. Brown put that pitch up is because he knew that the pitch is called about, is he on the trading block, or are you saying the Eagles
he knew that there was some conversation being had about him. He knew that some conversation was being had about him potentially being traded. Yes, I do believe that.
So was it the Patriots asking the Eagles, or the Eagles asking the Patriots?
So the way the reporting came down from Boston, Rasheem, was the Patriots called the Eagles. They asked.
And we think that they're going to trade the third overall pick for A.J.
That's the speculation. That's where the speculation comes in.
I think that's where the disconnect is. Rasheem, I love you and we appreciate it. I don't think they'd actually do it. What I said is, we know now the Patriots called the Eagles. That's been reported. So I said, all right, I don't really want to trade A.J. I think he's a tremendous player. Here's what I would, if I'm Howie, I'd say, give me the third overall pick. If they say no, then we all move on. But if they say yes, we got
to
trade.
And to Rasheem's point, I understand what you're saying, Rasheem, and I know we had to go. We're on the time constraints. But here's the thing, and this is where I'm at with it. If there is some speculation out there about him potentially being traded to the Patriots, I don't add fuel to the fire as a public figure, which A.J. Brown is. I don't add fuel to the fire by going out knowing that everybody follows my every move. I don't go out and follow Jacoby Brissett. I don't go out and change my profile picture to Tom Brady because, to your point, there's a lot of people that feel the way that you feel, Rasheem, as far as, you know, this is ridiculous. But there are also a bunch of people that look at that and they see, they read the tea leaves. They connect the dots.
Also,
it's just for him, it was kind of childish for him to do, in my opinion. He shouldn't have done it. He should have thought about it before he went out there and did that.
Also, I believe if we reverse engineer this, him doing it led to the conversation on Boston TV last night, which led to us talking about
it. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The guy in Boston he asked the insider, do you think the Patriots would call? Why did they bring that up? Because of all the stuff that happened on social media. If he doesn't do that stuff,
then it's not a conversation.
The host says, do you think the Patriots would call? And then the insider says, they already did call.
I don't know any firefighters that go around starting fires. Like, that's kind of ridiculous to do as a firefighter.
Nobody who claims to want attention less draws more attention to themselves than A.J. Brown.
Like no daily, firefighters.
We got a third Daily Douglas there in case you guys missed it. 215-592-9494. Daily Mock at 1 o'clock. All your calls as well on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.